All right, we can get this one rolling.
Let's do this.
Yes, we have three people in studio, not the usual two. I am trusting that we can use Timothy Trueheart as a crutch to lean us out of at least 20 minutes of material.
You're damn right.
Yeah. Well, no, I felt bad. We did only a half hour last week. Howard had to... What concert did you go to? You had quite the week with your girlfriend out and about on the town.
Yeah, this was an intense week of watching things other than football. I definitely spent Monday night last week watching La Boheme.
Jesus Christ. The musical
upon which Rent was based.
So everyone had... Yeah. Did they have AIDS back then, too?
No, the answer was tuberculosis.
Oh, they had the consumption?
Yeah.
Oh, so everyone just coughed on each other?
Yeah, until they died. Yeah.
That's hilarious. Unprotected coughing. Killing motherfuckers left and right.
I love you.
Les salt and les peppers. Let's talk about coughing, baby. A tale of safe coughing and covering your mouth. Put your elbow around your face like Dracula with a cape. There you go. 1 minute of this shit podcast. You've already learned something. All right, folks. It is Papa's Football Podcast. I'm John Papa Giorgio, joined today by Howard Flood and yes, more than just Howard Flood. I also got Tim Trueheart in.
Holla. Thank you so much.
I always like Tim. His name makes me laugh. Did you say it was like some Care Bear shit or?
Yeah, I use that as a little bit of a joke there, you know.
Okay. Is it like your real name? Like, are you part Native American or something?
I do not know my origin. My dad never met his father. He's one of those kind of black guys, you know?
Uh-huh.
So, but it is legal. It is legal.
Wow, you are legally Tim Trueheart. I always think of the, who was the little like Peruvian kid from Captain Planet? And Hart. He had the shittiest power.
He was Indian.
What, he was like, yeah, I thought like
Indian
Inca or Aztec
like
or something. Yeah,
him.
And that was it. It was like the Russian bitch could throw air like a typhoon at people. And I think the ginger had dominion over fire.
Yeah, yeah. He was passionate.
There was an Asian girl and a black dude. I forgot which ones they had. One was like Earth.
That was black dude.
Earth was
like
black.
Africa,
dude.
Earth.
Okay,
know?
Yeah. And then, so what was Asian chick? Was she water? Was she water girl or...
Earth.
Fire,
wind,
water,
heart.
I don't remember. It was the shittiest consolation prize.
Yeah.
Seriously, it was like everyone else was like a character out of Dungeons and Dragons, like had powers like Merlin. And this guy could what? Like make people want to fuck each other or hug each other because it's a cartoon?
I think there was one episode where they addressed directly how pussy his power was.
Really?
Oh, my.
Yeah.
Duke Nukem was in that one.
Yeah, they're just like, hey, kid, your power sucks. You get a pet monkey.
I think he actually...
He scared the fucking monkey.
It was an annoying episode, because if I remember correctly, I can't believe I remember this, but he kind of got upset and just was very down on himself for doing nothing, really. So he walks away, and then they can't summon Captain Planet without him. So then he has to run back, and he's just really into that.
Really?
Yeah.
So that's like saying... The distributor cap is the most important part of your car. Because without it, you can't get the fucker rolling.
Oh, it's not like I can't get another. You know, he's the most replaceable.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. That was the part I hate about that episode. I'm like, anybody could have done that. You just got to give him the ring.
Exactly. He's a total just, oh, God, what a nothing. But Tim Trueheart is not a nothing.
No.
If he doesn't have the pet monkey.
Same word. Then same word in there. That's all.
All right. Well, you know, enough hardcore football talk. Let's. Howard came down very strong on me, like dictator style. I couldn't open today with the Redskins.
You
I
are
guess
too long
right.
in Redskins radio, man. We cannot start with the two worst teams in the NFL. That's not what the people want to hear about today. They want to hear about the playoffs.
They just want to hear ESPN and not our show. That's the real secret.
No,
but
nobody wants to hear ESPN, man. It's something we endure in order to get highlights because they have the best package.
I'll give you that.
Yeah, I think that's true.
And they just have fuckable blondes left and right that they all take from the
they
DC market.
They all take from the DC market.
Lindsay Zarniak, Britt McHenry.
Sarah Walsh.
Yeah, it's just like, what blonde puss can we pull this time? I swear to God, if you're working in DC sports, don't hire a blonde girl. She'll be gone in 60 days.
We went to high school with Lindsay's brother.
Oh, did we?
Yeah.
Are we ever going to try to exploit that?
Why? No. I mean, honestly, like, I see her on TV. I understand why everybody's like, objectively, she's hot. Every time I see her on TV, I'm like, that is Steven's sister. It's really just like Steven with long hair and like works out a lot.
So he's like pulling a Bruce Jenner kind of thing. Like, it's almost like Steven transed into Lindsay.
No, I wouldn't even say that, man. It's just, you can, do you know, like, you don't know this because you just have a brother, but when you have like two siblings who look very similar. It's a little weird.
You, dude, your sister looks exactly like you in a wig.
I know exactly what it is.
That's terrible.
Yeah, and she even wears like sweatshirts. Like I've seen her three times, and every time she was in a hoodie and sweatpants. So it wasn't even like I could associate a more feminine figure with it. It really just looked like fucking Howard frumping out in a wig.
Oh no.
And then she's just lying on a couch with a dude, and she's like obsessed with Star Trek too. And I'm like, God, just put a bong in her hands. It's fucking Howard.
Oh no, it was just not pleasant.
But that's what I'm saying. That's why, like, every time I see Lindsay Zarnik, I'm like, I know that guy. Gross.
Yeah. And not to go too deep with it, but, like, you're, what is your sister's now husband's name? Doesn't he have, like, a chick name?
No, I think you're getting my sisters confused. Okay. I look a lot more like, I guess it depends on your perspective. Well, I guess never, in a way I look like both of them.
Yeah, you do. But what was the one with the chick husband name?
What about it?
Like, what's his name?
Or it sounds like Sandra.
Yeah, exactly. Not, so it'd just be like,
you just constantly
she's
get it wrong.
Lying on the couch with Sandra. It really just seemed like Howard. You know, it was even like this figure, this gender-neutral figure, was with a woman on the couch. I was like, this might as well be Howard with his chick.
Just try to make up for it with, like, more masculinity, because he's got a chick name, like Ashley, or, you know, those kind of names, you know?
Oh, yeah. I know what you're saying. Butch it up a bit.
Mm-hmm. Like, become extra.
All right, so we're not allowed to open with the skins. Fair enough. Instead, fuck you. You get 10 minutes of Care Bear and Captain Power talk.
Hey.
So the stories of the week, I'll let you pick from these three. All of you gentlemen, both of you fine gentlemen. Arizona beating Detroit to, I think, kind of assert their dominance for this week, at least, in the NFC. It's been a weird fucking season so far. St. Louis.
Upset of the week. Yeah, that was quite impressive. Mm-hmm.
Or New England going into Indianapolis and Gronk just skull-fucking everyone's ancestors.
Yeah, I definitely think you got to start with the Patriots really showing their ability to get to the Super Bowl this year and just taking any chance of the Colts getting past New England in the playoffs. I mean, that's all that game illustrated to me.
I'll give myself this much. I realize, again, we're not ESPN, but I believe it was ESPN that had roughly 200 to 300 personalities on air declaring that the entire Belichick-Brady era was over. And when was little Jimmy Garoppolo, or whatever his name, going to get his shot at it? Because Brady was clearly spent. I think it was me on this show that was like, dude, it's been two losses. Chill the fuck out already.
I'll still say this, though. Like, Gronk, very impressive. I don't know how that offense can get anything downfield without Gronk on the field. So I think they would look as bad as they did in the playoffs last year vertically if Gronk were not playing in the playoffs.
My favorite thing about Gronk, he's always good for just random Yo Soy Fiesta type shit.
Yeah.
And making the rounds on Vine last night was just the Gronk dance. And he was just doing this, you know, little white guy with his elbows up type twitchy thing. I loved it.
You didn't see him. He cheap shotted a DB. On a
I heard
running
that.
Touchdown.
Knocked him out of the end zone.
It was just like, hey, we scored the touchdown. You're about to just get pile driven into the turf. He's crazy.
Tim, what did you do football-wise over the weekend?
Ooh, football-wise? You know what? I didn't... I saw the Cardinals are actually doing really well. It's like their best start.
Yes.
Like, in
9-1. Best since 48.
I'm not surprised about Tom Brady, though, you know, because honestly, he did that Dodge Dart commercial, and he's a handsome man, so he can make things happen.
He is. He's dreamy.
Yeah, so whatever, you know.
I still think Andrew Luck outplayed him yesterday.
I didn't watch a ton, I'll be honest. Like it was one of those games where I was doing shit in the middle of it, and you look up and they're down 20, and you've blinked, and you're like, Homeland starts in a minute. Fuck it.
Colts are done though. Ahmad Bradshaw's out at running back, so they're stuck with Trent Richardson spearheading that non-existent running game now.
I watched. I believe it was the Colts' first play from scrimmage, and it was like Richardson just ineffectively running up the middle for nothing, and I was like, what the fuck happened to you? Like, I remember the review of him coming out of college. They were like, well, he's as sure thing gets. If you're into Adrian Peterson but with better hands, just draft Trent Richardson. And the Browns, what, gave up several picks to move up from 4 to 3?
There were mixed reviews. There were some people who were like, oh, this is an obvious slam dunk, like third pick overall. And then Jim Brown comes out after the Browns get him.
God, I love that. Just surly old Jim Brown. Girlfriend beating Jim Brown.
Never lost a fight. Never got hurt.
And he just straight up said, like, before the guy even took a snap in the NFL, he's like, Trent Richardson is an average running back.
Mm. But he's not even that.
Pronounced that.
He's not even that. That's what blows my mind. Oh, he's just garbage.
We'll see what he does in the rest of the season. I just am excited to see people running the ball again in the NFL.
Yeah, I know you.
I was so happy to see that
your
the Patriots pulled a gun.
Football.
Oh,
you just,
so
you
good.
You want fucking leather helmets like Frank Gifford wore, and you want those 45-degree stripes in the end zone. You want people smoking at halftime if they're getting
their
asses
kicked. I do want
people
smoking at halftime.
Just they walk in, suck down a hot butt. They're like, all right, boys, let's go out there.
I want hits on the sideline. I don't want to see flags when a dude gets hit in the white chalk. That's garbage. Football involves not being able to turn off that part of your brain that is smash the other person when you see a white line. You're just going to hit that fool anyway. That's football.
He wants the Acropolis or the Colosseum, the Gladiator.
Yeah, he does. He wants the Reds versus the Greens, the Russati. I remember Latin.
Look, I want the NFL where they used to have to line the sides of the stadiums with mattresses because the hits were so late out of bounds. You just had to aim for the mattress instead of the brick wall. That's the NFL I want. And we don't have that no more. Everything's just like, oh, that violent man. He committed a personal foul. I can't believe he hit that man.
I thought you were going to say, that violent man, he knocked out his wife in the elevator. I'm like, wow, Howard. I cannot get behind that.
So the off-the-field stuff, yeah, no, that's a problem. But going back to the running game in the NFL, we had a couple teams run the ball well yesterday. I appreciate Eddie Lacy in a very cold game at Green Bay, showing what the Packers are going to be able to do with both phases, like both in the air and on the ground, come playoff time. So I'm really excited because it's been so pass-heavy with the new rules this year. All I really want is to see classic NFL December football, which means running the ball and the Cowboys choking.
I can pull for half of that. I don't mind running the ball at all. It's just I see where the league has gone. I'll get this out of the way really quickly. And there's a great article. Someone found Madden a couple months ago and talked to him. And said it just running the ball almost doesn't make sense under the current rules. And he was saying that's why you just see these like quick little passes to the side. And then the guy takes off running from there because people have gotten so fast, too. Yeah. It's not just rules. People are like almost genetically engineered at this point. It's like you cannot afford the time it takes a running back to get from the center, you know, between the hashes to then fan out and run to the sides. It's just much easier to throw a quick pass to the side and get the dude running from there.
Yeah, but it's also hard to hit those guys. You can't really touch them at the line as much as you used to be able to.
There's a lot of protection that's gone into it as well. So I guess it's a twofold benefit or twofold, whatever.
Yeah, it's the protection part that really upsets me. It's ballet now. It's really moving in that direction at the very least.
Yeah, because everyone wants their little fantasy football numbers. Can you imagine if like fantasy football games were like, I got 10, I beat Sal with 7. You know what I mean? Like, the league would not be happy if fantasy football were as bad as like the actual in-game score.
But
they would
I'm
lose
just
their minds.
Moving to the next story, I think it's great to see that running the football is starting to matter in the second half of the season because the Broncos lost first and foremost because they were one-dimensional.
Because they lost the fountain of tears, no Sean Marino, last year?
Well, they didn't do very well. They also had Hillman out.
Okay.
Hillman was the backup to Ball. And so now they were on their third string running back for this game. Anderson had a great game last week. This week, not so much. So the Broncos were one-dimensional, and Jeff Fisher's defense shredded the Broncos.
Ooh.
This is true. All I can think about is Redskins.
No, let's...
That's in the back of my head the whole time.
I wanted to start with the Colts before we moved to the Redskins because, once again, I think it's appropriate, despite Andrew Luck losing last night, comparing his division-leading team to the lowly second pick in the same 2012 draft, Robert Griffin
III. They have the first and the third. They've got the bread in the RG3 sandwich, my friend. And I, as a Skins game, or Skins fan, and first of all, let me just say, I don't know why, but throughout the weeks on this show, I have gone out of my way to call Tampa Bay the worst team in the league. More than one occasion, my fat mouth is open to say, I know the Raiders have not a single win. Raiders, by the way, officially eliminated yesterday, and also it has now been 365 days without a win for the Raiders.
365 days.
As of today.
Whole year.
Yes. Put that in your silver and black pipe and smoke it. The Redskins yesterday went out and laid just such an egg. There's nothing to analyze. It's just so much bad. I mean, where do you... Their defense yesterday, I tweeted this. their defense yesterday against the Skins, they made Lovie Smith look like Ditka at the helm of the 85 Bears.
Well, they were getting pressure on the quarterback. It was impressive. That Tampa 2 requires getting to the QB. And
that Tampa 2, geez, how fucking old is that scheme? Like, how much, like, it isn't like it's last year's thing. Four defensive schemes have come and gone since the Tampa 2. It couldn't be more dead and spent at this point.
Yet disagree.
That idiot Lovie Smith keeps insisting on it, and somehow, against the Skins are that goddamn maladroit that it managed to look golden against them.
It relies on pressuring the QB and forcing a throw. And, you know, they didn't have to force as many throws with RG3 yesterday because they kept sacking him, all right? The guy was just lying on his back because his biggest problem against that defense is he wouldn't take the dump off. He kept looking vertically, and they just end up flat on his back because he just cannot take the easy... The one touchdown the Redskins had, the one touchdown, was basically engineered off of three screen passes to running backs. Where was that the rest of the game? Those guys were still running routes. Where was RG3 throwing the ball to the guy who was open like 5 yards from him? No, he's looking downfield for Deshaun every time, and he's either getting sacked or just overthrowing the guy.
What's happening with this guy? Like, is RG3... I look at him sometimes and I'm just like, God, that guy's just gonna get ruined. Like, he gets beaten
there's
up.
There's no get. He's spent. It's
like,
dumb.
Yeah, what's like? Is that guy like? Is he just like gonna ever be anything awesome? Like, he was supposed to be like this next super guy.
He was for 1 year.
I know Jason Campbell was supposed to be like not the best when he was around, but people kind of like gave him a shot and he just didn't. He couldn't do it. Now like RG3, is that like just another fail for the Redskins?
Yes, short
Good
answer.
Good Lord, this
short
is terrible.
Answer, yes.
Bums you out so much.
I know you're from the area.
I'm from the area, okay. You know, so I got to represent for the home team. But
good man.
I saw this guy.
I like this piece of shit over here.
Yeah, well, no, he's wearing
fucking allegiances.
He's wearing a Redskins hat. I came.
No. This is Richmond Braves.
Oh, it's got that R
Don't
on it.
Don't be fooled.
I was fooled. This guy came into the DC Improv yesterday. He was wearing a beautiful Redskins leather jacket. It was like a suede jacket. It must have cost $500.
I hope he took a dog shit out of the back alley and just smeared it on this jacket. And you're like, there, now it looks right.
Oh, my God.
Now it's been appropriately accessorized.
He defended it to the death.
Just mash it right on his chest. There's the pin that goes on top of that jacket. There's so much wrong with the Redskins. RG3, I mean, you can't exactly blame the dude. First and foremost, Dan Snyder. It all goes up to Dan Snyder. The dude is a piece of shit who still thinks he can make personnel decisions. I believe in my heart of hearts, Dan Snyder had a little jock-sniffing boy hard on for RG3 a couple years ago and was like, I want him. Get me that toy soldier on my field.
Right.
He made that happen. It has not panned out the way that really anyone who cares about the Redskins would want it.
Well, he's created too much of an aura of greatness around RG3 that isn't deserved for someone so early in their career. I think that's one of the big problems that RG3 is suffering, is Snyder basically creating this untouchability that surrounds him. And it's ridiculous because I heard the post-game conference from RG3, and he was talking about, I got to get more aggressive. I got to be looking downfield more. And I'm like, no, you need to just make the simple play because the offense calls for moving the ball down the field as you get closer to the end zone instead of looking for a 50-yard pass every other play. And so it doesn't sound to me like he's fixing his head. That to me is the biggest problem. It's just like, play football, man. Like, you'll have a few home runs throughout the year because you're a talented athlete, but he's trying to do it like every play I feel right now.
He seems in a lot of ways to almost lack a basic understanding. That's what really scares me. Just like the basic shit that goes into running an offense.
Well, how old is this guy? Isn't he like 25 now?
Yeah, and that's what drives... I feel bad about that because I didn't know my ass or my elbow at that age. This guy's given multiple millions of dollars and it's, do this very difficult job.
Didn't he get injured like pretty bad like early on? I think that like messes up you like from a sports psychological standpoint.
That's true. Well, it does. He's
you know, he's 25. He's got this. He's a super athlete. You know, like what if he's one of those guys where if he like slowly bring him along and then like, you know, in 3 or 4 years he can be like somebody that can ultimately like later on be super great in a long career.
I mean, first of all, that ship has sailed on him. And second of all,
he's 25. And he's still learning. Like, I don't understand this stuff, you know?
His big thing was just being the most athletic dude on the field, I feel, in a lot of ways. And, like, you don't age into being a better runner.
That's the hardest.
You got
thing,
a brief window where you're the swiftest fucker on the field.
But the hardest thing about projecting someone from college into the NFL is who are the guys that have gone their entire lives up into entering pro football, just being the best athlete on the field.
Right.
And
right,
who are the guys who, even though that's been true, recognize the second they get to the NFL, everybody else is going to have been the best guy on the field anytime they walked out there. So now everybody's basically on a level playing field. What do I have to do to separate myself? That requires a lot of preparation. Yeah, you do. You might be slightly more talented than guys out there, but it takes a lot more than just athletic talent to win in the NFL.
So what I'm saying is, why don't, like, if you had a professional fighter and you were trying to bring him along, you would give him, like, low-level fights. You would have him focus on, like, other aspects of his game so that, like, ultimately he have a long, successful career. So if he's, like, got all these natural athletic abilities, why are they not, like, slowly bringing him along athletically and having him do basic, like, you know.
That was year one.
Yeah, like.
Well, that went out the window in the NFL a while ago. Like, at this point, it's not like.
A simple offense that he can, like, effectively do because he's actually a super athlete and then slowly build up his actual skills.
That's nice.
How you do football. That's how you do it.
That's how you did it.
That's exactly what they did their first year, though. His first season, they definitely brought him along in a way where he was not the number one option in that offense. They were run first. So they really didn't throw the ball that much his rookie year. It was coming into last year where suddenly he was asked to be a pocket passer, and they didn't do things, it seemed like, last year to get him ready to play from the pocket. And I think it's a mental block he has as far as the way he thinks football is supposed to be played. He's still living football the way he did at Baylor.
Okay.
And it's just, you're in the NFL now, man. You can't, no. You actually have to learn how to play at this level. And I think he's still living in this college, like, dreamland, basically.
We'll wrap this part up, but... My view on it is he will never be correctly assessed. You can never look at him objectively because he will always be viewed through the prism of what was given up for him. If he were just a first-round pick and that's all you gave up for him, that would be enough where people would be pissed if he was a fucking bomb. I mean, Ryan Leaf, one of the all-time great NFL busts, he was just a two-pick. That's it. RG3 was a fucking... a number two pick, and then he turned, what, the next year? Because they gave up their second that year for him. Then the next year, they gave up what turned out to be what? Like the 18th pick in the draft for him? That one, you're like, I'm not happy with that, but okay. The year after, they gave up what? The third fucking pick in the draft for him? I mean, like, if he's a bust, he is a bust on the level that no one in the NFL, in terms of draft cost, has been a bust. He reminds me... Like, if you met a girl on the internet and you talked for years, like, back before you had, like, Plenty of Fish and just shit in your neighborhood, like, you would meet girls on AIM, you know what I mean? It was like, oh, I live in Columbus, Ohio. I live in this fucking toilet 300 miles from you. And you might talk on the phone, and after, like, 6 months, you're like, I love you. We have to make a go of it. And you quit your job, and you get out of your lease, and you go, and you move into town for this girl. And a week in, you realize she's a raging fucking bitch. And you're like, holy shit, I want nothing to do with her. But you've given up everything
for her.
What have
I done?
Yeah. Your friends are gone. Your job is gone. You've landed some new piece of crap work near her. You've signed a new lease near her.
In Ohio.
Yeah. You're committed. You're committed because of what you gave up. You just gave up so much, you do not have the freedom to simply walk away.
So you think they have to resign him long term for the 18 mil a year or whatever it's going to take?
Another thing I learned last night. What? Apparently they have the last six games of the season to determine whether or not they're picking up the option for year five on his rook contract.
Which is 2016. Because next year they have for sure if they want it.
Got him for dog shit. Yeah. For peanuts. For like $4 million. But the year after it spikes to like $17 million. Or some crap, and they have to decide this year if they want to go in on that.
Be
a crazy offer.
Dan Snyder has to decide if he continues to want to pay RG3 to be his friend.
Of course, exactly. That's all it is. Just the little nebbishy Jewish dork who was never friends with the athletes, and now it's like, I get to eat at your lunch table, guys?
Depends on that jock smells.
You sure have pretty girlfriends. You know, it's fucking Revenge of the Nerds. Except the guy owns a team. Oh, I hate it. That's all. That's all. Let's get back to teams that did something yesterday.
Hey.
Did something outside of breaking my
Tampa
heart.
Bay just worked their way back into the NFC South race. They're only two games back.
How I wish that were. That is the most. That NFC South is the most depressing, horrible fucking division I have maybe seen in my time, like, obsessively watching football.
The Falcons are in first place.
At 4-6.
Really? That's terrible.
Yeah. Dude, I mark my words. Good a Lord. Team is going to win that division at 6-10. And they're going to have a fucking home game.
I think 7-9. To be fair, I think it's going to be 7.
You think it'll be a 7-9? You think someone in the South is going to get hot and rattle off another 3 wins in the remaining 6 games?
Hey, that Falcons-Browns matchup next week is looking pretty good right now. This is that time of year where it's all the teams that are just going for the playoff breadcrumbs. Teams that are just like, we just want to show up. We're just happy to compete in Miss America. We don't think we're going to win. We just want to be there.
It's true. It's true. There's certain teams that, like, they're dangerous if they luck into the playoffs and they can get a hot hand. Like, I'm thinking of, what, New Orleans a couple years ago, the Giants both times they've made it the last couple years.
I'm sorry, any time that Eli Manning's in the playoffs, you have to give him that respect. You have to give Big Ben that much respect. I diss both those quarterbacks on the show, but any time they make the playoffs, you have to be careful. I mean, I love it when the Steelers lose to Tim Tebow. I thought that was hilarious.
That's the funniest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah. Oh, man, I laughed so hard about that. But, yeah, you have to give those two quarterbacks a chance.
But there are other teams. Like, I'm thinking of, was it Minnesota 2012?
Oh, that was so funny.
They just get in, and they're like, they have to play Green Bay their first game. And you just know they're like, we're not winning this, but shit, you know, extra paycheck, sure.
Yeah. Christian Ponder at the helm, we definitely have a shot at the... No,
yeah,
no,
exactly. It's just like, what's the game plan? Well, we got this guy called AP. He's running a lot. That's what we're going to do. The other interesting storylines from this weekend, Cleveland, you touched on it. Cleveland fucking dropped one to Houston, apparently, like, in bad fashion.
At home. That's so brutal to lose a home game in the fashion they did.
They were 6-3, I believe, atop the AFC North, at least for the week. And people were just like, shit, what's his name, Mike Pettine or Pettin? Or does he kind of Americanize it? What?
Is it Pettine?
Pettine. I thought it was Pettine, the coach. Tim's shaking his head. He's like,
sounds petite.
He's like, I get pussy. I don't watch football all day. Let's just go with Mike Pettine. Put a little faggoty accent mark on the end of it, too.
Yeah. Shine that up a little.
Mike Pettine, everyone's like, he coaches the way you're supposed to coach. He's just good. They're like Brian Hoyer. He's the real deal. And they just lay a fucking egg at home.
Yeah, Brian Hoyer shouldn't be throwing the ball 50 times. I don't care what the rule changes are. I just think they had problems with the running backs. They still are doing a running back by committee where they don't know who to trust. So I think they had a couple of fumble issues from running backs, and then it just kind of went from there.
Yeah. J.J. Watt, I think, caught a touchdown pass, like, just on a miraculous play. I know he's what, an end, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and they throw him on offense every so often. They're just like, hey, he's 6'6" and white. You're a tight end now.
Hey, I mean, Texans fans should still believe that their team has a shot at making the playoffs. I mean, I don't think they will, but if I were a Texans fan, I'd definitely look at that team and just have hope that at another point, Indy's going to falter, especially now that they're without Bradshaw. I think you have a much better chance for the Texans somehow winning that division.
The AFC records aren't jumping off the page at me. They really can only win it via winning the South, right? They're
unlikely to get a wild card, yeah.
Okay, that's what I thought. Yeah, because the North is probably hogging at least one wild card.
Yeah, I'd say I'd be shocked if the wild cards didn't come out of the North and the West. It'd be shocking. Really? I know you're still high on the Dolphins for some reason, but their defense is good.
Slowly but surely wins the race, sir. Yeah. Slowly but surely, all the way to 9-7. All right, yeah. So Cleveland loses. J.J. Watt does some crazy shit. I think he like karate chopped a guy's head off. That was for entertainment. It's fucking insane. Did a Mortal Kombat test your might. Kansas City took out Seattle. That really made me happy because that, for whatever reason, was not getting a lot of mentions during the live games I was watching. So I actually had to bust out an app. I like how I made that sound like I went to the Library of Congress, like Woodward and Bernstein, fucking, you know, cracked the deep throat code. No, I had to pull out my app and look up a score. But they beat Seattle, man.
Jamal Charles tore up that Seattle defense.
Really? Is that is that it? You mean Alex Smith wasn't a world beater?
Nah, he had 108 passing yards. So they're definitely looking a lot right now, apparently, like the 2000 Ravens, where they you have this offensive, like, West Coast offense guru. And Andy Reid is now having to manage, like, a quarterback that's, you know, bottom half of quarterbacks, in my opinion, with some great running play from guys like Jamal Charles. And then a pretty solid defense helping to get this team towards the playoffs. They could make some noise. We'll see. They just can't rely on Alex Smith to get them to the promised land.
Yeah, they have a weird two streaks actually going that I feel deserve note. They've been keeping track of this for about 3 or 4 weeks for whatever reason. No wide receiver on the Chiefs has a touchdown yet.
Really?
Yeah, and they have not given up a rushing touchdown through 10 weeks.
Dwayne Bowe is a great receiver, so I think that's more of a flaw from the person delivering the ball, not the ones who might catch it.
Okay. Weird stats also, just the last couple ones I want to throw out there before we move on to just maybe go back to the Skins for a second. Just talk about Deshaun starting to become Deshaun.
Yeah. Okay. No, he's a great player. I don't know why.
Well, I mean, he's starting to become pissy baby Deshaun.
Oh.
Did you hear about this?
Well, they're losing a lot, man. So
I can't blame him at all. And I think he's just mad he doesn't have McCoy throwing to him, honestly. Those guys did some damage.
Well, he might. They're a couple games together. If RG3 puts together another dud half like he did this week, I think we will see Colt McCoy in the second half of next week's game.
All right. The Patriots, again, this is the dead team. Remember, 4 weeks in, their season was over. It's fucking sad, man. Patriots have defeated the other three AFC division leaders by a combined score of 128-58 this season.
What is going on here? That's impressive.
Yeah, that is really good. And here's a totally random factoid. The Rams have now defeated 3 of 4 teams in last year's championship games. They've taken out Seattle, Denver, and San Francisco.
Yeah.
God, if they had a quarterback.
Seattle's still good. Like, I mean, that was Russell Wilson. Didn't they win the championship last year?
Yeah, is that right? Yeah, they won last year.
So they're not going to do anything now? Like, I don't hear people talking about them like
they're awesome. I mean, Howard, if the season ended today, they're outside looking in? Or they're like
I don't know
six?
Officially. I've been looking at their schedule. I still think they can make the wild card. It's going to be tough for them to make it back into the NFC West division title.
Like everyone, they probably have at least, what, 2 to 3 divisional games left?
They have a tough road. I think San Francisco honestly has an easier road.
Do you remember off the cuff what Seattle has left or no?
Seattle, I believe, has to play Arizona once more. Okay. San Francisco twice more.
Whoa.
Yeah, that'll be.
They have a lot. They have a lot of tough games upcoming.
Tough road ahead.
Do they also have to play the aliens from Space Jam? That could end poorly for them.
Monstars. Oh, I got a random question.
Sure.
Or geez, did you Aaron Rodgers like just has been destroying. This guy's like way better than I even like thought he was. Like he's great quarterback.
He really is. I don't know. So he
has some weird stats where like he's got way more. Like they compared him to Peyton Manning, and then this other guy. Like they scored so many touchdowns. Like he had like 9 more than the next guy. I don't know what stat it was. These sports
the touchdown
things.
Stat.
It was some type of touchdown. Okay. It was like a specific type. Like
Had something like 300 straight picks at home or throws at home without a pick.
Right,
that one's kind of fucking nuts.
Yeah. And there was a certain amount of touchdowns in that time period. Uh-huh. And it was 9 more than like the next best guy. And it was like ridiculous.
Okay.
I don't know.
You're probably just on pace for a certain amount of touchdowns
so
or something
many stats
like that. Yeah.
You guys just throw out there, and I'm like, what is this?
It is true. We do a lot of sports jerkery. I can jock it with the best of them, sadly, at least for football. Then it's like, let's talk basketball. And I'm like, is that the team with the orange thing?
Yeah. But I like MMA. Get me into MMA, and I'm like this with everybody.
You really have to do other pods then. There's a lot of MMA pods, man. MMA does nothing for me. I'm just like, I see two dudes wrestling. This isn't making my dick move. They're not doing it right. You know?
You need 11 dudes doing it.
Exactly. why are they fucking it up with shorts?
Yeah.
Keep the gloves.
I want to see their face. That's why.
But I pulled up the Seattle schedule for the rest of the season.
Sweet.
This is rough. They got 2 against Arizona, 2 against San Francisco.
They're not making the postseason.
And
again, saying it right now.
At Philadelphia.
They're not making
That's
the postseason.
You. And then they finish. And this is what I'm saying, though. They finish with hosting St. Louis. St. Louis could very feasibly win every game between now and then, and it really could come down to that final game. I know that's really outlandish to say right now.
You have no idea how badly I want St. Louis in the offseason to go, Washington, we just need a quarterback. Would you like to do a tradesies back for RG3? You want all the picks back. Oh, that's awesome.
No, you would end up with Sam Bradford is what you would end up with.
Fuck, that's an improvement. I don't give a shit.
That's why they won't do it. I think they would take Sam Bradford, as expensive as he is, over what RG3 can offer right now.
That would be hilarious. The Indian kid playing for the Redskins. I would just trot him out every game.
He may not be offended by it. You know, that's
I don't think he gives a shit.
It's too much money to be offended by it, to be completely honest. If you're inside the NFL,
yeah.
I don't know. I think he would be like a huge celebrity if he just went civil rights on it and was just like...
Sure.
I mean, that'd be funny, too.
If you just say you're gay, you get super celebrity.
I would do whatever for money.
Sport.
I would play for the Turkish Greek fags if they paid me enough. And I would just trot out every game, and I'd be like, yep, I took the cock out of my mouth long enough to play for the Greek fags today, and the Greek people are a bunch of fags. Good day.
Your shorts are so low, your balls hang out the bottom.
Exactly. Oh, man. I'm sorry. I was going to get to the stuff for next week, but you did remind me that the Eagles just got plastered, and that did need a mentioning, and we kind of trotted right past it. But Green Bay really did look good yesterday. And the Eagles very much looked human. They looked like a team helmed by Mark Sanchez.
I'll put it this way. Yeah, like the Eagles can still have hope because that's not going to be their quarterback during the playoffs. Like Nick Foles is the guy they need to play. If Mark Sanchez is their quarterback going into the playoffs, you know, they're not going to have a lot of hope to begin with. They're just not going to look at him as a world beater, especially if they got to play a road game.
Was he really the reason they lost yesterday?
No, it was really Aaron Rodgers outplayed him.
Okay.
It's just...
It was one of those games where, like, so much went down. Just like the Sunday night game. You're able to hang with those. You said, I like to watch execution. I'm just like, if you're up 3 touchdowns, fuck it. I got a blackout rule in my house, you know?
I truly enjoy watching Aaron Rodgers execute that offense because he's also able to get Eddie Lacy involved. It's just beautiful to watch that kind of offensive football.
You're a purist. I can completely tell that just by this podcast, like the way you're talking about football and like how you like them running and then like talking about like the execution of the specific plays, even though the game itself is like, you know.
Yeah, I want to see people who are successful at what they do. That's something that impresses me the most.
Excellence.
So
I wish you had enough of that attitude to come in here wearing black slacks, a white shirt, and a black tie that with short sleeve. Just like fucking Lombardi in his day or John Madden. That's what I want.
That's funny.
I want you coming in that outfit and we'll take promo pictures with you in those. Just holding a clipboard.
Get him a whistle.
Just a clipboard with your iPad underneath it.
Oh,
yeah, and a whistle. You're right. We'll call him Coach.
If we actually hit certain salary requirements that I've submitted, I will.
We can rebrand the show Papa and the Coach.
Ooh, that's fun. That's fun.
Fucking horrible.
That would be fucking hilarious. That's great.
What's your take, Coach? And then he just blows the whistle right into the mic, deafens everyone.
But here, let me give you at least one more take about yesterday's games. I do think one of the reasons the Seahawks have a chance at making the playoffs is that I don't think Detroit's going to win more than 2 games the rest of the season.
Why? What do they have lying in wait for them?
I think they end the season in Green Bay.
Okay.
So already you're looking at 2 teams with the same record, but does anybody expect Detroit to be able to defeat Green Bay at Green Bay in week 17? They're playing the Patriots this week. Another big game for them is they got to play the Bears twice. So
the Bears.
Bears, man. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I mean, they can beat the Bears.
Fuck the Bears and smoke and Jay Cutler. Are you familiar with that site?
No. What's that about?
It's just people that Photoshop cigarettes into the hand of the listless-looking Jay Cutler. No, he doesn't.
Oh, okay.
But he just always has this expression. He looks like a hard-boiled detective. And so you just put a cigarette in his hand, and suddenly you're like, that works.
But I look at this Detroit team, man, and, yeah, they got to play the Buccaneers and the Vikings as well. Those are supposed to be easy games. But I don't look at this Detroit team and see a team that is guaranteed to win a game against anyone. I still don't feel that way about the squad. So I see him as 9-7 right now.
I mean, it wouldn't shock me. That's all I can say. It's very hard to believe in Detroit, even when they're... You know, the whole argument this year is, what, their defense is hot?
Yeah.
Jim Caldwell's gotten the defense together or whatever the hell. It's still very hard to believe in them. And I'll tell you why. So many of their wins were these come-from-behind affairs, if I recall correctly. I haven't seen a lot of their games, but I remember reading more than once, it's like, Matt Stafford has done it again. Well, guess what? Fucking, that's a hot hand, man, and sometimes they cool down. Like, you're not going to come from behind every goddamn week. I'm sorry. You're playing professionals of roughly the same talent level.
But yeah, with Detroit and Philly sliding, I think that definitely opens the door again for three teams in the NFC West to go to the playoffs. So,
all right.
That'd just be awesome if that third team was St. Louis.
I love Jeff Fisher. He plays, like I said, with balls like bocce's. He fucking has testicles, man. Really. It wouldn't surprise me if he had to wear kilts for true comfort.
Here, let me tell you who their opponents are other than their divisional games. So they're out of division games. They're playing at San Diego.
Wait, the Rams are done with their division games?
No, they have two more.
Who do they have?
I'm not going to tell you the divisionals. Let me tell you the four that I think they can win first. It's at San Diego. San Diego's the easiest stadium to play on the road.
God, they were so hot 3 weeks ago.
Why is that?
Because people in San Diego have way better shit to do than go to the
NFL.
They're
just laid back. They can't get
Tijuana's
fired
right
up.
There, yeah.
It's just like, I'm going to the beach.
Tequila.
Yeah, it's like, have you seen the women here?
Yeah. They're not going to football. They got so many other things to do. It's the easiest stadium to go in and win as a road team.
It's like, you think those are breast implants. They're not. They don't need them.
It's just that good.
Exactly.
Fish tacos.
Then the Raiders. They have a challenging game against the Raiders in 2 weeks, mm-hmm. followed by an even more challenging matchup with the Washington Redskins.
Ugh, I don't even know who I root for in that situation.
And then week 16, they're playing the New York Giants. So
who are somehow just as bad as the Redskins.
Yeah, you're looking at four very winnable games, which leaves the Rams with two difficult matchups against divisional rivals.
Oh,
now
they're
hosting the Cardinals. The best thing they have going for them right now is that they're hosting the Cardinals.
Okay.
And the only thing they have going for them when they play at Seattle is the fact that it is week 17. So either that game is for all the marbles or they're done anyway. It doesn't matter. Just like empty the bench. Let everybody who like didn't get a chance to come out and play have the Rudy moment.
I was just gonna say.
I'm in the game, Rob.
Mr. Rudiger.
So at least the way it's set up, I really hope that game matters. I so badly want that Seattle.
NFL made that change, 4 years ago at this point? Where they stacked a lot of divisionals near the end, and I believe week 17 is all divisional, because for a long time there were just too many week 17 games where it's like, this shit doesn't count.
Yeah.
And so they're like, well, what is the easiest way to make it count? We're going to make it all divisional. So it's hopefully it pays off again, man.
It's like a soap opera. They really set it up that way, it seems. Into it that it seems like that. God, when you talk about it, Howie, it's like, I'm like, dude, did you write this out? Like, St. Louis is like a team to really watch. Like, if you want to, like, I'm not really into football, but that's who they're playing for the rest of the
Honestly,
season.
Honestly, it's kind of hard to watch them play because the quarterback play is not what people pay to see in the NFL. Like, God, Sean Hill is not this guy where it's like, yeah, Sean Hill, I'm so excited that I paid $50 to watch this.
Is he the older dude, the older journeyman that they got? Oh, is he the guy from the Lions? Like,
yeah.
Oh, shit, I can't remember him. Yeah. All right, before we get to next week's games, I don't really think this fits in at this point, but I want to prove that I'm a matured broadcaster and I'm not horribly ADD. And I did throw it out there that DeSean Jackson was making his feelings known about the Redskins situation on social media.
Okay, what did he do?
Yeah, well, he sounds like a rapper.
Yeah, dude, he really does have a rapper type photo.
DeSean
Jackson. He almost looks like T.I. in his little Twitter background photo. He tweeted a picture that says, top of the week, ! And this is how I'm feeling. And then he used a couple of emoji hundreds with lines underneath it. And then the picture goes, I'm glad we're doing this on the Dirty Show. He links to a picture that says, you can't do epic shit with basic people. Now, first of all, I feel like I'm getting in the middle of like a Mean Girls spat where it's like, you thought that tweet was about you, but it's not. But you're such a fucking cunt for thinking that it was. That just says everything about you. So I didn't even have to say it myself. Like, that's really what this tweet comes off as, because it seems like it's directed, one would think, at RG3. I believe yesterday RG3 came out and was like, all of us can do better on the offense. And I feel a lot of people would say, well, we know you can. Doesn't take much to question that, but what do you read into this? Do you think it's DeSean being DeSean? Just, he was known as kind of a locker room cancer. back in Philly?
Ew.
Or do you think... Exactly. Sounds,
good Lord.
Sounds serious.
Yeah. Barnacle.
Or is he completely right in this situation, and RG3 really does fucking suck?
You ever worked in an organization where someone just feels entitled to a leadership position? Like, somehow they get elected or they find themselves there, but when they interact with everybody around them, they're just like, well, you know, I'm this guy, so you should just do what I say. It's like, nah, I'd really like you to earn my respect instead of just showing up and, like, look at this title.
It was like when we did the show, our first episode, and you challenged me, and we had a shirtless, bare-knuckled boxing match in the green room. Yes.
And that's why it's the Papa Football Podcast.
Exactly. And why your left kidney doesn't work.
It'll be the coach one day.
But no, like, it's as a third-year player who has regressed since his first year, he's acting like somebody who is entitled to respect when, I mean, yeah, like, he hasn't played as well as Colt McCoy. I see the physical abilities of both those two players, and yet the results on the field say that RG3 is potentially the third best quarterback on the Redskins roster right now. And he's completely delusional to act the way he is, telling DeSean Jackson he needs to play harder. Because, I don't know, if I were DeSean, I'd be like, hey, there are two other guys that I would put out there before you.
Mm-hmm.
Name one receiver on this team you would put out there before me. Pierre Garçon? No.
Yeah.
I mean, like, those are two really good receivers, in my opinion. And they just haven't had the right person throwing them a ball this year.
Absolutely. And I think what drives me nuts is they talk about arm strength out of the quarterbacks, and they're like, RG3 is the one guy on the team who can overthrow DeSean Jackson. And it's like, he proved that multiple times in the game yesterday. It's like, how about we keep that for practice, motherfucker? Yeah. For my money, DeSean has every right to say this shit. Yeah. I would be going berserk if I were him. Wide receivers are mercs by nature. I think almost just the kicker really has less to do with the football team than a wideout.
I definitely think he wouldn't have said this if they were still in contention for a playoff spot. But watching Washington media yesterday after the game, there's just this uniform feeling of this is the low point of the season right now.
Well, he has the same frustration I think anyone watching that team does right now. And it touches what you're saying, where this guy, by virtue of his draft status, by virtue of his Heisman, comes in and is like, I'm king shit of fuck mountain, to borrow one from Mr. Show. And really, the NFL is a meritocracy. And so it frustrates people when you see this asshole who gets all the breaks just because of what he was.
I mean,
and you've seen people who've done the job better than him on the bench because
Colt
of who they are.
Colt McCoy, prime time, goes to Dallas and beats the most hated rival of the Redskins.
That's the
best game this season by far.
And not only that, this has been a crazy year where there's like a hot team every new week. That was Dallas's week. They had just taken out Seattle, if I recall. It was like, holy shit, Jerry Jones actually has an offensive line. You know, who the fuck was it? DeMarco Murray?
Yeah.
He's the one that was racking up the 100-yard games left and right. And they go in there and they win. And it's like, holy shit, how do you pull this guy the asshole who has done nothing?
You have to let RG3 show that he sucks before you can pull him again. I think you had to put him back in, but like I said, I think he's got to have to turn it around.
But how annoying is that? It's like having to work with the boss's kid. It's like you have to show the boss how fucking horrible his kid is at the job so you can put in someone that can actually just do the job.
No, it's pretty close to that situation because like with sports teams, they always say when you have the son of a coach on a team, he's either
it's the worst thing
by far the best player on the team.
Yeah.
Basically, he's playing as a favor to his dad. This happened at Creighton a couple years ago in basketball. Doug McDermott played for his dad at Creighton. He could have gone to another school to play basketball because he was a pretty good basketball player in college. Now he's in the NBA. But he stayed and played with his dad and made these stipulations of like how their relationship wouldn't affect his on-the-court play. Ended up being a finalist for Player of the Year, etc. You have to be way better than everybody else on the team if your dad's a coach. Otherwise, you're probably not qualified to be on that team.
Yeah, everyone's screaming nepotism.
Yeah. It's just like, if you're not just carrying other people's towels and hanging out because it's fun, you shouldn't cut in other people's playing time. And I just, it feels a lot like that with I've seen a lot of teams, especially in college, where you do have guys bring their kid onto the team, shove him out there, and it ruins the team. And it is starting to feel like that a little bit with RG3 and his special relationship with Dan Snyder.
No, Dan Snyder just wants to be loved by these jocks. And that's it. And that's what's so annoying. Like, I think what creeps me out is 20 years from now, I can still completely picture Dan Snyder and RG3 just, like, texting each other, watching, like, True Detective Season 16. It's like, oh, I didn't see that shit coming to you. No, I didn't. You know, it's just
what?
That he's not your goddamn buddy. He's your fucking employee, man. I'm not saying, like, pull him on the field and shame him or, like, shoot him like a horse that broke its leg. But for God's sake, stop being so obsessed with, like, well, Robert and I went out to, you know, the Palm last night. And because of fuck.
That's why I hope Jay Gruden doesn't give a fuck. I hope Jay Gruden's just like, I don't need this job. I'm going to do what's right for my football career, which means putting the best quarterback.
I get that vibe out of him.
Yeah.
I really get the vibe out of Jay Gruden. He understands the game and that if he walks away from this really fast, people will just laugh.
Yeah.
It'll be like, you know that circle of friends and there's one chick that like everyone fucks in that circle and like you're all done with her after 3 weeks because it's like, no, she's a cool chick. And it's like, oh, you're going to be the to fuck her.
Yeah.
And then 3 weeks later you've just fucked her and she's shown how psycho she is and now you're all just laughing again. It's like, God, she was a nut.
Oh yeah. My god.
That's what it's gonna be. It's just like you go to the rest of the league and you're like, wow, the Redskins do suck. And they're like, I know, right?
He's the worst dude at the owner's meetings.
Yeah. He is a horse's ass. It won't do any damage to him as long as he doesn't stay here like a Norv Turner-esque amount of years. And there's your final random fact. Since I love facts, and I love weird stats, the last Washington Redskins coach to get a contract extension, Norv Turner.
Wow.
Let that rattle around in
Is
your
he
head.
He the only one under Snyder to get a contract extension?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Exactly. And I think more coaches have than not gone to and out with Snyder.
Yeah.
That one I just kind of did in my head.
My favorite one and out, that was Schottenheimer.
Yeah.
Schottenheimer for Spurrier. What a trade.
Spurrier,
what an exchange
2 years,
right there.
Mm-hmm. Zorn, 2 years. I mean,
I liked Zorn. I thought he was a cool dude.
That first 8 games was amazing. Where it's like, everyone put in your hands for a hip hip hooray before the game. He almost had them like, put your fucking hand on your chest and sing God Bless America.
That was weird when Zorn got hired because that was a time when nobody wanted to work for Snyder.
Yeah.
He had to show a little bit of a repair with coaches before other people would consider working for him.
Just so bad.
That's why I want to know what he's going to do with Gruden here, because Gruden made it sound like RG3 is not locked to start the rest of the season.
I hope just Gruden does it. I hope he says, fuck you. Step in and fire me if you don't want this to happen.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I want to see him throw down, because no coach will touch that team if Dan Snyder comes from above to tell him he has to play RG3 even though he's sucking.
All right. Let's wrap this up with what's coming next weekend. Howard and I have gone out and picked a couple games we're interested in. Tim will be busy again intercoursing your girlfriend. You have a girlfriend, right?
No, not right now.
What happened? You had one the last time we conversed, sir.
Hey, it's all over the place with me. I am a true heart, you know, so.
That is true. All right. Will you have a girlfriend by the weekend?
I was going to say Sunday's a while away.
Well, maybe we'll go on a date. We'll see what happens here. I'll chime in on some stuff here. Maybe.
Just make us some plans on Saturday night so Sunday's iffy on football.
I feel like Pacino in Heat with that one guy that was narking for him. It's like, Albert, tell me you fell in love last night. I can believe that. All right. Lions at Patriots, 1 p.m. You've got a team that dropped, I don't want to call it a heartbreaker, but they probably weren't happy to lose to the Cardinals. And then you've got a team that looked like world beaters last night on the road, so fuck knows what they'll manage at Gillette Stadium.
I'm pretty excited to see how well the Patriots can run against the Lions. That's a matchup where we're going to find out if the Patriots can actually run the ball or they just took advantage of something that was weak in the Colts defense.
Okay. I just like it as a 1 p.m. I think it's a fucking fascinating choice to have that. That seems like a 4 p.m. or even a prime timer.
I'm actually looking forward to the shit show at 1 p.m. between the Browns and Falcons. I just think, like I said, they're chasing breadcrumbs. Both those teams are like, we can still make the playoffs. So I just want to see the dogfight that is going to be that game.
Oh, God, Mike Smith just clinging, clinging. If he makes the playoffs, that's an interesting thought. If Mike Smith makes the playoffs, is his ass suddenly not getting fired?
It's hard to fire him if they make the playoffs, isn't it?
Absolutely. Who was it? Leslie Frazier that limped in, again, back to the 2012 Vikings? And didn't he... I mean, that guy was fucked. He was so out at the end of the year. And then somehow week 17, they limp in. And it's like, I guess another year with Leslie.
Well, half a year, really.
That's right. He got a mid-season canning. All right. Cars at Seahawks, 4 p.m. I think we've gone on about the significance of that in the scheme of the NFC.
That's the best game of the week, bar none.
It is. I mean, the Cards, if the Cards beat the Seahawks, are they done for the season?
The Seahawks? I mean, it's going to be really tough for them to beat the 49ers twice. You can't really take the Seahawks seriously if they lose this week, unless they can...
I love doing that, the jock thing, where you're saying things that aren't a mathematical certainty. I wish we could do that with someone that didn't, that they were just very literal. And so I would say, if the Cards win, are the Seahawks out? And you would just reply, like, data. You'd be like, no, they actually have four games left to determine that. Jocks love saying, like, this is a must win. It's like, no, the Raiders yesterday, that was must win. They're mathematically out now.
I'm just saying, like, they got two games against the Cardinals. They should try to win the one at home. Like, if they lose at home and they still have another one to play at Arizona, that's not a good situation to be in.
Mm-hmm. All righty. I am sorry, I was flipping around. Now it's back to the outline. Dolphins at Broncos, 4 p.m.
Get out of here.
Sorry, dude, the Dolphins have been okay.
Technically winning games.
And the Broncos have looked really average. I don't want to say mediocre. Average the last 3 weeks.
I watched that Thursday night game with Tannehill. He missed some open receivers, man. Like, that Dolphins defense is pretty good. The one thing I'll give to Tannehill, unlike RG3.
He didn't cost the farm.
No, I was going to say the main thing with Tannehill is he can describe what he is failing to do well. So I listen to his post games and he describes, like, these are the things that I need to do better. Andrew Luck does the same thing. These are the weaknesses in my game currently. I would like to be a better player today. Better player than I showed today. Mm-hmm. RG3 just sounds like, oh no, that didn't reflect who I am as a player. So I'm going to do what I do next week and it's going to be awesome.
That's like me with the show.
So much swag.
I'm a really good broadcaster, despite what you've heard for the last 6 weeks. Just a slump. Oh, and Cowboys at Giants is next week's Sunday night, I believe. Am I wrong on that? Is it the Monday night?
No, it's Sunday night.
Is it?
That's probably worth watching. I know the Giants have been doing terrible recently.
It'll probably be another primetime blowout, but it would be fascinating if the Giants could, hold home court.
Hold home serve.
What am I looking for? Is that a tennis thing, a volleyball thing?
Serve. Holding serve
at home. There we go. Eventually it stumbled out of me.
But what do you think about that Monday night game? You got Ravens and Saints.
Ooh, it sounds fun.
The only really interesting aspect of it is the Saints kind of were like a poor man's, much more offensive Seattle for several years in this league, where you could argue they're very pedestrian on the road, but at home, God help you. They're going to fucking hang it up on you. And they've dropped, two home in a row? Am I wrong on that?
They definitely lost this week at home. That was an embarrassing loss for them.
Yeah, it has not been, I feel that let me get the name right. Is it now not the Mercedes-Benz Superdome? Not just the Superdome?
Yeah, and they're 3-2 at home.
So I don't want to say the illusion is shattered, but it's not good. It kind of reminds me, during Favre's last few years when, Lambeau wasn't what it was. You know what I mean? Like, they were fucking, 5-3 at Lambeau and shit.
And they were losing the playoffs. They routinely lose in the playoffs at Lambeau.
Yeah, when everyone's like, well, they're going to come in and the opposing quarterback's hands will freeze and then he'll forget what it is to throw the ball in the NFL.
Wow.
It's the power of the tundra of Lambeau. And then it's like, oh, wait. He didn't fucking become a vegetable, and he still played his game, and the Packers lost because they were the much shittier team.
Yeah, no, wait, look, the Packers adopted this, pass-first offense that doesn't really work in the frozen tundra. It's weird. I'm like, I understand that this is a good offense to run, but why is anybody surprised when, you go pass heavy and then when it's below freezing, it's just bouncing off their receivers' hands in the playoffs? That's the last two times Green Bay's gotten eliminated at home. It's been these games where the receivers just, have the ball, just bounce off their hands. And everybody's like, how does that happen? I'm like, I think it's pretty cold. I don't think they were doing that in September.
Have you never been cold? I mean, like, even as a kid, I would just turn the faucet up to boiling and shove my hands under it. And for 30 seconds, I'm just like, I am invincible. And then, like, there's, like, that moment where they thaw. And then suddenly you're like, what did I do this for? That's what it is on a football field. Oh, shit. All right, let's wrap this one up, and we're going to start with our... There we go. Our outro music.
So weird.
Our new Lombardi outro music. Tim, thank you. Oh, God. This is only like 30 seconds long. I immediately regret playing this as the outro. It will not last nearly as long as I thought it would. Let's pop this back down, and we're going to pretend I didn't do that. We're going to use Any Sorrow's the outro bed. There we go. And then we'll just end with the funky song.
Yeah.
All right, let me first put out Tim's name again. Tim, thank you for sitting through. I know you're like not a sports guy in particular, so
I enjoyed it. A lot of fun.
I felt like it was like bringing the chick along to watch football. Hey. After three hours, it's like, hey, did you like the game? She's like, yeah. Can we go eat now? You're like, yes.
Good commercials.
Can. All right, Tim, if you want to plug all your social media stuff, I know you're at Tim Trueheart on Twitter, but you're also, what, with the Jellyvision Show?
Yeah, I'm with the Jellyvision Show. You can follow us on Twitter, or you can check us out on Podbean. But definitely check out my website, timtrueheart.com, and I got a little podcast going on there. So check it out. I throw stuff up all the time.
Do you have a podcast outside of Jellyvision?
I do, yeah. I just started a couple weeks ago.
Nice, okay. Yeah. Well, if you ever want to... host, I don't know, Howard. I'll volunteer him. No, I'm kidding.
Heck yeah.
I'll do it too. Come on.
Please do. Appreciate it. Thank you, guys.
Yeah, no problem.
You're going to do another episode with us now on Papa's Basement, right?
Heck yeah. I'm excited for this.
We kind of made him sit through this because if we did the Papa's first, they'd be like, oh, I have diarrhea and look at the time. Peace out. But this is how we got him to stick through both episodes. Howard, if they want to get a hold of you on Twitter and look at your projects, what are you shilling at the moment?
I gotta fix that. Yeah, that Indiegogo campaign's not going so well, so I'm just going to flip back to my old handle.
Do you mean the Indiegogo campaign that you're going on Tim's show to promote next week? And
we talked while you were in the bathroom about how, like, shit. We'll just discuss what it means for a crowdfunding campaign to fail.
So just check out the episode. It'll be a blast. His Indiegogo went bye-bye.
I love it. Yeah.
It's still
bye-bye.
Technically alive, man.
Oh, cool.
It's there. I can't cancel it. It's just there till the end of the month. Yeah. So.
Oh, man.
It's just whether
mocking
or not,
you.
You're getting something out of it.
Do I want to, like, dump money into getting people on Fiverr to pretend to look at it? We'll see.
Okay. Yeah, that's not a bad idea. Fiverr, the secret of the internet.
Yeah.
All right. I'm John Papagiorgio at Papa's Basement on Twitter. This was Papa's Football Podcast. PFpod.com is the show's site. Please find us on iTunes as well as Stitcher to subscribe and leave ratings and all that. I tried to publicly slut shame a bunch of the listeners last week into doing it. It worked to some extent. I don't know if they're also Papa's Pod listeners. I hope they are. Get off your ass and leave reviews there as well. We also do Papa's Basement, which is hosted at inpapasbasement.com. And guess what? You can look at Papa's Basement on Stitcher and iTunes as well. And last but not least, I do thespookiescomic.com. And that used to be updated weekly. And lately, the teacher friend who does the art for it has contracted some sort of little kid AIDS.
Oh, did he?
Teacher. Yeah.
I feel bad.
I'm getting these updates like, I'm really sick again. I don't think we're going to make it again this week. Yeah, I can't fault him. I do like an hour of writing. He does like 9 hours of drawing. Geez.
Should I not call him later? I was supposed to talk to him.
Call him. Make sure he's not faking.
Right.
Get back to me. Rat him out, you little narc. All right, I think that's it for all the plugola, but yeah, you can find Papa's Basement on Facebook as well. I'm sure Tim has Facebook, and find us, stalk us. We like it.
I do.
Don't feel weird. Sometimes they find me on Facebook. They see John Papagiorgio, they Facebook me, and they're like, sorry, I did this. What the hell do I care? What else do I have going on, really?
Be my lover.
All right.